Here at Summit, we celebrate two ordinances, and I think it's exciting that we can see both of them on one Sunday. One of them, the ordinance of baptism that we just observed, and the next, the Lord's Supper. We'll be participating in that as well together in our service. When people speak about the Lord's Supper, they often use different terms to describe it. Let me just go over a couple of those with you here today. Each of these names communicates a very important part of this time together. One of those names is what I've been using and typically use, and that is the Lord's Supper. It's a time of celebrating the past. It coordinates with the Jewish Passover meal, and we'll talk a little bit about those elements together in just a few minutes. And then another term that's often used, not quite as much as the other, the term Eucharist, which is a form of the Greek word Eucharisto, which means thanksgiving. We're going to speak about how important it is to give thanks to God. And that's what we're going to be inviting all of you here to do when we celebrate the Lord's Supper here together. Another term that's often used is the word communion. And that symbolizes the presence of Jesus Christ with us, our special fellowship with Him. It also refers to the opportunity we have together as a body, as members of the family of God, to celebrate the Lord's Supper together as a faith family. Ironically, Jesus begins the Lord's Supper on the evening of His betrayal. And throughout the centuries since that time, believers have remembered in a special way the work of Jesus Christ. And it's been celebrated in so many different ways and in different settings. This morning, we're going to talk about the Lord's Supper, and then we are going to participate in the Lord's Supper together. It's one of the most beautiful and one of the most meaningful experiences that we can have as followers of Christ. And then to be able to share that together makes it an extra big blessing. So let's try to see what the Bible says about the Lord's Supper. Why do we do it? We're back to our series entitled Great Question. And the title is very simple here today. Does communion save me? And I can just give you the answer to that right now. Absolutely not. By participating in it, it does not make you a follower of Christ. It does not forgive you of your sins, but it is a very special act of obedience. So let's look at that together. First, it's a time to thank God. It's a time to remember His blessings and to be specific about that together, because His blessings are so many, aren't they? So many that we can celebrate here together. In Matthew 26, the first part of verse 26, we read this, our main text today. While they were eating, that's Jesus and His disciples at that moment, Jesus took bread, and when He had given thanks, He broke it and gave it to His disciples. I actually think a better translation of that word thanks in verse 26 might be the word blessing. It's a different word from Eucharisto. But in the next verse, in verse 27, that word is used specifically. It's the same thing. Jesus takes the cup, He gives thanks, the word Eucharisto, and then they participated. So what were Jesus and His disciples doing? What were they gathered together for? They were there to celebrate the Jewish Passover. And so what would that have brought to their minds? They would have gone way back to that time that God miraculously delivered the Jews from bondage during that time that they were in Egypt. All the many deeds that He had done. They probably would have thought a lot about the man Moses and his great leadership that he provided. All the miracles that God worked through Moses, who gave himself in leadership to God at that time. They would have also thought about the captivity that their nation would have experienced there during those difficult times. They would remember the plagues that God sent against the Egyptians to free them from captivity. They would have remembered how every morning the Jews would wake up and they would find food miraculously provided, coming in the name of manna, which means bread, provision from heaven. There were stories about how God stepped into their world miraculously to protect them, to provide for them, and to powerfully provide for their deliverance from the Egyptians. For us, it's a time to give thanks. It's a time to remember now the incredible blessings that God has provided for us. And for us, every month we need to be adding to that total. It was such a blessing for me today to hear one of our senior adult ladies who is in an assisted living center. When I ask, "How are you doing?" she says, "I am so blessed every single day." Is that an amazing testimony? To come from her in her circumstances, and yet her attitude is one that we should adopt. To be thankful, even in the midst of some difficult times. And the greatest blessing of all that we should focus on here this morning is the blessing of God's salvation. He has also delivered us from bondage to sin. Those of us who are in the faith family of Christ, we have been forgiven. We have been given a new life, and it's time to celebrate that salvation and to never let that get too far away from us. In fact, the longer we are believers, the more thankful we should be for the blessings of God. So the Lord's Supper is, in essence, a time for us to thank God for all of His blessings. The bread, symbolized by the wafer that you will be holding, that represents the body of Christ, which was sacrificed cruelly for us on the cross almost 2 centuries ago. And again, that word Eucharisto, we need to give thanks. Verse 28 shows us that the fruit of the vine represents the blood of Jesus Christ, which was poured out for our forgiveness. Look at verse 28 of Matthew 26. "This is my blood of the covenant." These are Jesus' words. "Which is poured out for many." Who are the many? The many are all of those who have said yes to the invitation that Jesus provides us to receive Him, to follow Him, to be in His family, to serve Him. That's us, the many. For what? For the forgiveness of sins. So here's what the disciples would have been thinking about during the Passover meal. The families would often eat roasted lamb. Why did they do that for their meal? Because of the Passover lamb that was provided as a sacrifice for their sins in their historical perspective and background. Sacrificed on their behalf. The blood was sprinkled on the doorpost of their houses. Do you remember that? It was placed there for a purpose, so that they would be protected by God. And it's just a reminder that every day that we have new life, God has provided for us. He has protected us. He has given us another day to live and to serve Him. And that should lead to an attitude of gratitude. Now here's what the Passover families would also do. They would also eat bitter herbs. Now I know that doesn't sound very appetizing, does it? Obviously, they weren't doing it because it tasted good or because it provided nourishment for them, but it was a reminder to them of the past when the Jews were held in bondage in Egypt. And Christ follower, there was a time that you were held in bondage to your sin that kept you from knowing God and experiencing His forgiveness. So they would eat bitter herbs. They would also eat crushed fruit combined with vinegar. They would put those elements together, and you say, why would they do that? What's the purpose of that? The purpose of that was a symbol of the mud that was used to provide bricks when they were slaves under Pharaoh in the past. And so they would eat that as a reminder of the past. But notice this about the Lord's Supper as He institutes it. He does not mention bitter herbs. He does not mention crushed fruit combined with vinegar from the past. The fact that they are not mentioned is very important to us, because what we remember today is that the awesome sacrificial death of Christ on the cross means that we don't have to live in the past bondage to sin. and to the bitterness that was there before we yielded our lives to Him and before we became a part of the family of God. What does that mean? That means that the guilt and the blame from the past are forever gone. You don't have to remember them. We have been spiritually set free in Jesus Christ. So here is the Lord's Supper focus for us. What do we think about? We revisit the blessings, especially the salvation that comes through Jesus Christ. We think about all of them and we give thanks. But here's what we don't revisit: past failures, past sin that has been forgiven by the grace of God. We don't have to live in the past, Christ followers. We've been set free from Him. And so today, in the Lord's Supper, we are going to celebrate the salvation we have in Christ, and we don't have to revisit the past sins that have been forgiven. Some churches actually teach that during communion, that the sacrifice of Jesus is repeated again. And I just want to say very simply, that's false teaching. That is not true. Jesus does not have to be sacrificed over and over again. Once was enough, and it was complete. And now we are free, and we are forgiven. Jesus Christ completed the work of salvation for all who follow Him. I want you to hear these words from Hebrews chapter 9. It speaks about the one time, adequate, complete sacrifice of Christ. Nor did He, and the He in this text is Jesus, nor did He enter heaven to offer Himself again and again, speaking about the sacrifice. The way the high priest enters the most holy place every year with blood that is not his own. Otherwise, Christ would have had to suffer many times since the creation of the world. But He has appeared once for all. Folks, that's all of us. Once for all, at the culmination of the ages. What is that? That time that Jesus gave His life sacrificially on the cross to do away with sin by the sacrifice of Himself. Just as people are destined to die once, and after that to face judgment, so Christ was sacrificed once to take away the sins of many. There's that word again, many. All those who have chosen to follow Christ. And He will appear a second time, not to bear sins, but to bring salvation to those who are waiting for Him. Isn't that an awesome passage? Just a reminder again of what Christ has done and that it was enough. It's complete. Once is enough. The Lord's Supper is a time to be thankful for past blessings, especially the incredible gift of salvation. But what else can we remember during this time? It's also a time to celebrate Christ's mighty presence with us. We are celebrating that here today. We go back to our text, Matthew 26. And in verses 26, the end, in verses 27 and 28, we read the following. Again, the words of Jesus. He says, "Take and eat. This is my body." Then He took a cup, and when He had given thanks, Eucharisto, He gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins." Do you sense the presence there? Jesus being with His disciples, and today being with us. So how is He with us today? And every day, how do we celebrate His presence? He is with us spiritually. That's what our focus is today during the time of the taking of the elements. He is with us spiritually. The bread, the wafers, the juice do not become the literal body and blood of Jesus Christ. They are symbolic of Him. When Jesus says, "This is my body," he means it in a symbolic way. As he holds the bread in his hand, it's distinct from his body. It is not part of his body. Not one of the disciples present during that time would have assumed that Jesus was saying that he is holding his actual physical body when he holds the bread in his hand. The same is true with the cup. It is symbolic of the blood of Jesus Christ. The juice itself is not literally the new covenant. It is symbolic of what Christ did for us. And Jesus would often speak in symbolism when he referred to himself. We see consistent examples of that. He is speaking of a spiritual reality when he uses the symbol of physical objects to teach us the beauty of the Christian life. Here are some examples of that, his symbolism. In John 6, in verse 41, he speaks about being the bread from heaven. That's separate from him instituting the Lord's Supper. In John 10, verse 9, he speaks about how he is the door for the sheep. Literally a door? No. But symbolic of salvation. In John 15, 1, he speaks about being the vine, while you and I are symbolized as being the branches attached to the vine when we have given our lives to Jesus Christ. Some also believe that when they participate in the Lord's Supper, that God's forgiveness is automatically given by simply taking the wafer or the bread or drinking the juice. That is not true. And it's a mockery of the death of Jesus Christ. That would mean that we could save ourselves by partaking of the elements. And that's not how we're saved. We're saved by the grace of God through faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Now, communion doesn't save anyone. We've said that from the beginning. But it is a very important spiritual discipline. In just a few minutes, we're going to give you the opportunity to take of that. The bread, the wafers, the juice in communion, in the Lord's Supper, are not the physical flesh and blood of Jesus Christ. Yet he is special and present in a very powerful way. How is he present? He is present spiritually and powerfully. This is a time that we really need to celebrate his presence. The Lord's Supper is more than just a memorial service with Jesus being absent. He is present. In fact, Father of Christ, he's with you everywhere you go. And when we are gathered together, when two or more are gathered together, the Bible says that he is present in an even more powerful way. When the body gathers together to bring honor and glory to him. He longs to meet with us in this way. He looks forward to that. And that ought to really humble us about this time. So who's invited to the Lord's Supper? Who is invited to participate? The answer to that is very simple. All Christ followers. All believers. All who have given their lives to Jesus Christ are invited to participate. And I love the symbolism of this. This invitation goes to every age group that's represented here today. To every person from every ethnic background. And when people from different backgrounds come together and don't focus on the diversity, but instead focus on the unity that brings us together, it brings incredible honor and glory to God. Because he is able to do that right here in our mix today. We have people who are from 5 different continents on this planet. And we have people who are here from 5 different generations. All together for one purpose, to gather in his name and to bring glory to Jesus Christ. Amen? Who is invited to participate? All believers who are willing to say this today, "I am second." We've been hearing a lot about that lately from our equipping ministry. I like that phrase, don't you? I am second. We're invited to make sure that Christ is first and that we're second. We're invited to say others are more important than me, and I choose to be second. That's the invitation here today. Look at 1 Corinthians 11:28. A man ought to examine himself before he eats of the bread and drinks of the cup. This time is a very special time to focus on Jesus Christ. And we might think, well, how could we forget him? And yet sometimes we get so busy that we do. We neglect him. We tend to ignore Christ. When? When we're facing some tough times, we tend to leave him out. When things are going extra good, we tend to ignore him. It's easy to forget about him. It's easy when we get too busy. It's certainly easy when we allow sin to dwell in our lives without confessing that sin and claiming the forgiveness of Jesus Christ. That's what we're invited to do before we partake. The Corinthians really struggled with that. Paul spoke about their struggles. He rebukes them because he says, when you gather together as a church, you're not saying I am second. You're basically saying I am first. One of you is hungry, another is drunk, he says of the Corinthians. Their problem is selfish, inconsiderate living, thinking more about themselves than they're thinking about Christ and others. I just want you to know this weekend I saw some amazing examples from the Summit Faith family of people who said, I am second. Christ is first and others are first. On Friday night at the North Cobb game, we had people grilling away, providing food for the concession stand, serving people, helping them on the front lines out on the mission field of our community, saying, I am second. All week long, preparing for the kids' consignment opportunity that went on in our facility this weekend, there were dozens of people, along with their leaders, who did amazing jobs of leading by serving and loving the people that came here. And all of those who came through and checked out received a packet from the church, and in that was the gospel message. And we provided 400 packets. I think there were a small handful left over. That means that over 350 family units left here with a copy of the gospel of Christ in their hands and being loved by the people that were here. There was one of our volunteers when a family was checking out and they were really struggling with their finances. And when the total came up, it was a lot more than they had planned on, even with the incredible deals that were offered here. And that volunteer covered half of the expense, paid for it, for that family, saying by her example, I am second. Are you willing to do that? That's what we're invited to do. So how am I living today? How am I doing? Am I living in a way that promotes unity and love? Does my life reflect the self-sacrifice of Jesus Christ? That's what we're asked to do as we prepare for the Lord's Supper. Is my life in some small way reflecting a little bit of the character of Jesus Christ? Jesus also tells us something else about the Lord's Supper. And this is where it gets very exciting. Get excited about the future. You say, what does the Lord's Supper have to do with that? It's right in our text this morning. In verse 29 of Matthew 26, Jesus is speaking. He says, I tell you, I will not drink from this fruit of the vine from now on until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. Think about that, follower of Jesus. Do we have a little bit to look forward to? In the midst of a crazy world that somehow seems to be spinning more and more out of control, it's so easy to look at the circumstances and the crashes and the losses and the struggles and not focus on the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ and what we have to look forward to. We have this incredible future promise that one day we are going to be experiencing all that Christ has promised that we would have, that he secured through his death and his resurrection. We will be with Jesus in the fullness of his kingdom. Picture that beautiful future. And no matter what your week was like this week, or what may be on the horizon for you, be encouraged today about that future. So today, Jesus Christ is our host, and he is inviting us to celebrate his powerful presence in the Lord's Supper. So let's remember him and let's celebrate his presence. And remember this, every Christ follower here is invited to participate. You don't have to be a member of the church. If you're in his family, you are welcome to do that. Some of you may not yet be followers of Christ. Then why would you wait any longer? Why don't you, in our prayer time, as we prepare to receive these elements, why don't you give your life to Jesus Christ today and say, I'm ready to follow you, Christ. I am ready to be in your family. I'm ready to make that commitment. I'm ready for that blessed future. I'm ready to live for you now. What's the Holy Spirit seeking to do in your life now? Would you listen as we pray and as we prepare to receive the elements? Father, thank you for inviting us to this special time. We know that by taking of it, it doesn't save us. It doesn't forgive us of our sins. Jesus has already taken care of that. And I just pray that if there's anyone here who has not taken that step, that today would be the beginning of that new life. And God, for the rest of us, would you show us how we can be second now and in the future? Show us if there's something in our lives that needs to change now, that needs to be forgiven, that needs to be added, that needs to be taken away. Holy Spirit, we're open. Speak to your people. Have you thanked him? You know, sometimes in our worship gatherings, there's so many things going on, we don't have time to just think and meditate. I hope that was a good time just to reflect on the goodness of God. Remember that as you hold the bread in your hand. Jesus took the bread, he broke it, he blessed it, said, take and eat. This is my body given for you. And then he took that cup of unity. He said, this is the cup of the new covenant shed for many, that's us, for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in remembrance of him. And now, it's time to thank him even more. We're going to worship him together with some beautiful music. Times to celebrate the wonderful presence of Christ. Why don't you stand with us as we continue our worship time together? Some of you who are note takers said, wait a minute, where's number four? Well, here's what we've celebrated so far. We've thanked God during this time and remembered him in this special way. We celebrated his presence very powerfully. We look to the future to get excited, but yet there's something else that we need to do in between now and then. And here is where number four comes in. The Lord's Supper is a time to prepare to serve, to leave here, to serve in the power and the majesty of Jesus Christ. That's what the disciples did right after the first Lord's Supper. Look at verse 30 of Matthew 26. When they had sung a hymn, that's just what we did. They went out to the Mount of Olives. What did they do? They went to battle. They went out to serve. They went out to represent the gospel. This is the task of the church. To be so inspired by the presence of the Lord that we leave in his name and in his power to represent him to the world. I was so inspired myself this week when I heard the story after the recent series that we did on sharing the gospel of Christ as a lifestyle. One of our men heard about a friend of his who lives in Texas that was near death. And he became concerned about his spiritual life. And he flew out there to visit him in the hospital with the goal of sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ with him. I have one word to say, wow. That's our job, to be the church. We'll close with this quote from Ernest Southcott. I like it. It summarizes it well. The holiest moment, the most special moment of the church service is the moment when God's people, strengthened by preaching and sacrament, go out of the church door into the world to be the church. We don't go to church. We are the church. Let's make a decision today. Strengthened by the presence, the powerful presence of our Lord and Savior, to be the church. Today, if God is leading you to make any decision public that's on your heart, to follow Him, to be baptized, to become a part of the faith family here at Summit, some other decision that's on your heart, then I invite you to make that in our response time now. Why don't you stand with us as we prepare for that, as we sing our hymn, our song of response. As God leads, please come.